Hey.
So we're recording now, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up my dang notes because I took some. Oh, there they are. I got a computer in front of me and a computer in my lap. You can tell I'm a very organized man. I'm sure that shows in this show.
Yeah, very.
So we're going to do a quick little intro here. We did a lot of recording at Tupelo Comic Con.
Yes.
We did a lot of interviews, did a lot of talking, just got a lot of material, met a lot of awesome people. I can already tell you right now for serious that we've got some listeners from Comic Con this year, because our Facebook numbers have already jumped up a lot. All of our social media stuff, we're getting more friends, followers, and likes, and we really appreciate that a whole lot.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So many thanks to all of y'all. You'll notice, obviously, we're live on location when we're recording this, so I'm not going to do background music because there's a lot of like background Comic-Con chatter that kind of sets the tone for... It makes it real, man.
Yeah. And here we have like a background frog making noise.
Yeah, we're out in the country. You know, that reminds me, last week when we did that song, I had the roll-up door open and you could hear like crickets and... Well, I'm used to hearing crickets when I sing, but... You could hear like the frogs and everything of nature.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't dub that in.
So, answer me this. Out of all three of the cons we've done so far, was this not your favorite?
I think so, because it was in our hometown, and it was really big and awesome. It turned into everything it needed to be from the first year. They really brought home... Like, we talked to Jamie on the show, he was here in the studio with us, the only negatives were, like, good negatives on the first year, and that's that you needed a bigger building, more vendors, yep. More comics, more this, and they did all that and much more this year, so I would say it was a huge success. I don't have any numbers yet, but there were thousands of people there.
Yeah, even on the second day, there were a lot of people.
Yeah.
I like how it was so spaced out. This year, I mean, you had room to maneuver. There were people walking up and down the aisles from both ways. They weren't cramped up. You know, last year, it basically was they had to walk in one way and then make a loop, basically, because it was such a small area. But this year, they pulled out, you know, all the nicks and crannies.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there that remembered us from last year, but there was a lot of new people, and we got a few. We had to explain the name of our show to a lot of people because it's kind of... And I get it. We've talked about this on here a lot before, but for any new listeners, you know, the name of the show is Kill Pop Culture, and some people take that the wrong way. They're like, why do you want to kill pop culture? We love pop culture. Well, if you really go by the definition of pop culture would be like Honey Boo Boo, the Kardashians, Cash Me Outside Girl.
Right.
That's the things that are popular in the... general population of people. We were always lacking the underground stuff like Dungeons and Dragons, Doctor Who, comic books, things that weren't popular to popular people. So, and it's weird because the years have gone by and things have kind of flipped now. Your number one TV shows and movies are based on comics. So it does get, the water gets a little muddy and it gets a little confusing, but it's kind of a conversation starter and an attention grabber, and we always wind up converting the people that are mean mugging us if they give us a chance.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, the thing about it is it's kind of sad to say that pop culture has gotten to where it is now, like you said, with the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo and stuff. But, you know, that reality TV stuff...
You can call it shit.
Yeah, it's shit. There's nothing real about that.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of our name, we had just a handful of T-shirts made, Kill Pop Culture T-shirts, to take with us for giveaways, and congratulations to the ones that won some shirts. Oh, you got them there? By the way, if y'all haven't contacted us yet, we need to get you your shirts.
Yeah. So, Ashley Shepherd and Brenda Pennington, please come to the front office.
But... in doing that, we're getting a lot of requests from people online and stuff asking us for they want to buy a shirt. So we're gonna have to get some more made. Since there's so many people wanting them, we may just have to set up like a pre-order thing, because I can't like call the guy and say, hey, print me three shirts. I need to have like a bulk Yeah. I don't have to do like 1,000, but I don't want him to waste his time just printing a handful. Yeah, I want to wait till we have, like, you know, about, I don't know, 25 pre-orders, and then I'll call him up and tell him, and he'll print them for me, and I'll go pick them up.
Courtesy of Madhouse Graphics and Printing, one of the sponsors of the Railroad Festival this year.
So yeah, if you want a Kill Pop Culture t-shirt, hit us up, let us know, and we'll try to get that going for you. Don't forget, we got the Railroad Fest coming up this weekend. When this airs, it'll be like 2 days away. I did not unpack the shameless promotion bill yet from the weekend, but me and you and Shane are playing acoustically Friday night, and full band Kill J, if he ever gets the bell out, we're gonna play Saturday. Of course, you'll hear Rob on here from Seeking Seven talking. Go to our event page and the Rail Festival second stage event page. Click that you're going. Check out all the bands that are going to be there. There's a bunch of them. They're all awesome. And speaking of t-shirts, the Railroad Festival second stage t-shirts are ready.
Again, courtesy of Madhouse Graphics and Printing. Check them out on Facebook.
And I'm going to post something online probably tonight, so you will have already seen it when this airs. But they are, I swear to you, they're the best shirts we've ever had.
Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah, Ty sent me a
picture. I want one. Maybe I'm legible and I can get one.
Legible.
Yeah. That means I can be read correctly. Swig a beer. All right. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time because we got like probably at least an hour and a half worth of Comic-Con stuff we're going to jump into here. And this is going to be a two-part show. This is going to be part one.
Part one, day one.
Yeah, it just worked out like that to where there's enough material that we'll get two shows out of this. But I'm going to be so busy this week with Rail Festival, I can't promise. I'm going to try to upload part two as soon as I can after part one. I don't want them to be spaced out real far because I had a big fanboy moment with Mike Grill. That dude is so cool. I had so much fun interviewing everybody, but I've been a fan of Mike Grill's work for a long time, and there was a lot of things I didn't know until we talked to him. I didn't know about the Iron Man thing.
Yeah, I mean, and
he's the guy that outed Tony Stark as being Iron Man.
Yep.
And, of course, in the movies, they get right to that. And we talk about this. I don't want to, you know, redo the interview or anything. But I just thought it was really cool that, you know, he was the guy. And then now they're using that. And they get right to it in the movies. That he, you know, everybody. He's not like Bruce Wayne or Clark Kent where they're secret. You know, it's common. Everybody in the world knows, you know, in the story that Tony Stark is Iron Man.
Yep.
And you can thank him for that. And thank him for many other things. But anyway, that'll be in part two, the Mike Grill interview. Part two will also have
Bill Dundee.
Superstar Bill Dundee. That was really cool talking to such a wrestling legend. I wish I'd had longer because he was so cool and so fun to hang out with. I wish I'd had more time to get him to tell more stories from the old days of wrestling. But yeah, part two is going to be awesome. Part one is awesome. They're both awesome. My point is stick around for part two. Don't just listen to this one and then run away. Because there's more to come.
Plenty more to come. It was amazing. Should have been there.
Oh, we got a birthday shout out this week. Today, which it'll be 2 days late when it comes out. Today is Shauna Sword's birthday. Happy birthday, Shauna.
Happy birthday, Shauna S. Words.
Hey, and again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to commission us to do birthday shout outs, plugs, commercials, anything, go to advertisecast.com, and there's a lot of different options there of things you can do, and you can buy us. I think there's an option where we can come to your house and hang out with you for like $100.
Yeah, sweet.
But I think we have to pay them. They don't pay us.
No, it's so sweet.
All right, here we go. Tupelo Comic Con 2017.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
It's not that we are desperate for people to talk to or anything. That's a great way to introduce somebody, isn't it? No, fantastic. I'm just messing with you, man. How you doing? Tell everybody who you are and what's going on.
Not a whole lot. Just enjoying the Comic-Con. Looks like a really awesome turnout so far, I guess, compared to last year's. I wasn't at last year's, though, unfortunately.
Did you say your name?
It's Alex Spencer.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
One and only.
The original Alex Spencer.
The one and only.
So you've been here since 10. How long did you have to wait to get in?
I got here around 10 o'clock, like you said, and I guess they didn't start letting people in until around 11-ish, maybe.
I think they tried to start letting people in, but I think some people were confused about which line to get in because you had the pre. Did you pre-buy your ticket?
I bought it at the door.
Yeah, so you were in the really slow line.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a couple of people that were waiting in line anyway, so I just killed time waiting to talk to them and stuff.
Hang out with your friends. Yeah. That's a pretty cool attitude to have.
I mean, I wouldn't really call it hanging out because, I mean, it's pretty hot outside, you know. It's actually
pretty nice. I mean, yeah, it's a little warm, but
a nice breeze.
Nice little summer breeze blowing in.
Is it summer or is it spring? Because right now it's starting to feel like a mixture of both.
This is Mississippi, so there's no such thing as like spring.
This is like one of the most bipolar states you'll ever see in the South.
Absolutely. How many people do you estimate here? We're bad at guessing numbers.
What do you say?
I'm going to say in this room right now there's 2,000 people.
Okay.
Am I high? I mean, not chemically, but am I high on my number? I don't mean am I altered.
Do you want a guesstimate from start to finish out the date, or you want just an amount right now, like what we have in the building?
I think there's as many people here now as there was.
Oh, well, I'm going to say
I don't think a whole lot of people have left, in other words.
Yeah. I'm going to say right now probably the guesstimate number for that is going to be, I'm going to say between 1,600 and 1,700 people.
Okay, so we're pretty close.
You know, probably by the end of the day, there might be like maybe close to 3,000 total that's been here all day.
I'd say more than that.
You say more than that?
Yeah. Because some people are thinking like, I'll come out later when it thins out a little. And some people are like, you know, getting off work and coming out here and such and such. So, yeah, are you coming back tomorrow?
Probably not. Nah, unfortunately.
I'm doing a panel tomorrow, man.
Who are y'all paneling?
We'll bootleg it and put it on the podcast. If you listen to the show at all, don't
I've
lie.
Listened,
not
I've gonna, listened to a little bit when I can.
Feelings,
I've listened
it.
To it a little bit when I can. I've spent most of my days mainly
I'm
going to
ask you a series of questions. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot like that. But no, we'll record it tomorrow and we'll put it out there for everybody to listen to. We're going to bootleg our own panel. We're just going to talk about podcasting.
Okay.
How to get into it, how to do it, and how to not do it.
Cool. So
I think they need us there to show people what not to do. They need both sides.
So
they need people that know what they're doing, and they need us also. And they need the other us.
Out of everybody in the group, this is just a question out of randomness, but out of everybody that's in the Kill Pop culture, who do you think, who is the real brains behind the operation?
I don't think we have a brain between the four of us at the moment.
Not
one cell.
So it's just four separate brains, though.
It's four separate partial brain cells
that
comes together
that.
Into one conglomerate.
I respect that for sure.
We actually put them all in a blender, and we turn it on high for 30 minutes.
I'll pop skill pop culture.
That guy right there, he's cosplaying Silent Bob.
Yes.
He's not very silent.
He didn't have a cigarette either. Didn't Silent Bob always have a cigarette in his mouth?
He always had a cigarette in his mouth, and he talked one time in Jay and Silent Bob. Yes. Well, he's one of the biggest nerds around, too.
I listen to his podcast.
His podcasts are pretty legit, and I've watched a lot of... There was a TV series I think he did, or he still does, nerd fandom and everything. I can't remember what it's called, but like...
Comic Book Man?
Yeah, there it is. But, like, I have such respect for the guy because, like, he goes so in-depth with everything. You know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he knows a lot.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
But so what comic books are you into?
Comic books-wise, like,
Who's your fave?
my all-time favorite comic book.
Yeah.
Like
or character.
Well, as far as character goes, it's Doctor Strange.
Nice. So you like the movie?
The movie was fantastic. It was like Inception times 20.
Times 20.
Yeah, it was. Like, especially if you were to watch it in 3D, I'm pretty sure I would have had, like, went into epileptic shock or something and started having seizures. I'm pretty sure that's how insane it would have been if I would have seen it then.
So you read the comic book as well before the movie?
The comic books I've read delved into it, but his backstory alone is one of the most fascinating backstories I've ever, you know, read about.
Well, see, I never read a lot of Doctor Strange stuff in the comics. I mean, I knew of it, but were they pretty accurate to the comic and the movie?
Yeah, as far as with the movie versus the comic, his backstory, like how he lost his ability to use his hands and everything.
Never read.
He had a wreck. You know, I mean, everything was pretty accurate, especially his attitude. He, in a sense, I guess you can say he's got like a Tony Stark personality, just because he's so arrogant and everything.
Yeah, I did catch the arrogance.
Yeah, he's got a lot of arrogance, just like Tony Stark, you know. And I was like, okay, so I think
we might see them on screen together in Infinity War.
Oh, it's going to happen, and it's going to be great too, because my understanding with Infinity Wars is that, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a two-parter, but the way it's going to play out is that we're actually going to be probably losing some Avengers, and we're probably going to be we might lose a Guardian or two in Infinity Wars, because, you know, Thanos, he's just badass, you know?
Yeah.
But that gauntlet, you know, helps him more, but, I mean, he's just the ultimate evil.
Yeah, he's like the dark side of the Marvel.
Basically, yeah. Well, speaking of, like, you know, dark side and stuff, like, you know, we got Justice League coming out this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be about 3 hours long.
Is it?
That's what I've heard. It's supposedly going to be longer than Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Yes. And what's crazy is that, like, for the longest, people wondered who the villain was going to be in that, and they announced a few months back it was going to be Steppenwolf, his Darkseid's nephew.
Yeah, I was going to say Steppenwolf is like the boss that you have to beat to get to Darkseid.
Yep.
If this was a game we were talking about.
I'm not sure who they got to cast Steppenwolf, yo. That, you know, it should be interesting.
One of the members of Lynyrd Skynyrd is doing Steppenwolf.
Really?
No, it's actually a guy from the band Steppenwolf is going to play Steppenwolf. So there's your Inception.
So Werewolves of London will be taking place in the movie?
Yes. And Paris.
And Paris.
You know, they did a remake called American Werewolf in Paris.
It's not as good to me. And, you know, Magic Carpenter Rod.
Yeah, we're just jumping around, aren't we? We're just naming stuff.
I mean, podcasts should be random.
Yeah. Daredevil. I stumped you there.
Well, I mean, I used to love Daredevil, but, you know, it's like, after watching the Netflix series, I'm just like, eh.
You didn't like it?
It was okay.
I liked it.
Ben Affleck really did it for me. He ruined it for me, in all honesty.
So the movie that Ben Affleck did ruined the show for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It ruined the Daredevil franchise for me in general.
Oh, wow.
Just like, you know, him being Batman, you know, it kind of ruined it for me. Yeah, he played an okay Bruce Wayne, but as far as Batman goes, mm-mm.
Wow, you really hold a grudge.
I don't hold grudges. Movies. I just speak the truth. In my opinion, as far as Batmans go, the number one Batman and the best Batman forever will always be Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
but you have Adam West, also the original TV Batman.
Well, Adam West was the best Batman era.
He was the best comical Batman.
Yeah, he was the best Batman for what they were going for at the time.
Exactly.
Like when it changed to the Dark Knight thing, yeah, it was totally Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton.
And I wasn't expecting that.
Val Kilmer was okay, but...
No.
Oh, my God. George Clooney just... He butchered that part.
Unfortunately, he
butchered it.
He since said that he regrets doing that.
I would, too. He should have stared at goats longer.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
You know? He had many chances. But, I mean, then you have, what's his name, Christian Bale, the last Batman before Batfleck, who I thought he played a better Bruce Wayne than he did a Batman.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Because when you play Batman, you got two parts to play, and they're both very different.
Yeah, I mean, you got that voice, man.
Unless you want to blow your identity, you got to be able to play them different.
Anybody can do that Batman voice, that really dark Batman voice. Can you do it, Mark?
Not really. Not today. So what's your plans for the rest of the day? Are you going to any panels or any?
I mean, I've already met Walter Jones, and I met Red Brown. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like I grew up watching series like Happy Days, Chips.
Way too young to be appreciating those shows.
I'm 26, man. I'm a 90s baby. But, I mean, I grew up with it because, you know, that's what my grandma used to watch. My dad used to watch it. So, it's like, you know, I enjoy classic shows like that. You will never, ever get a show as good as that, like, was back in the day.
I still watch Andy Griffith.
I do, too.
I like that show.
It was amazing.
That old Andy. He comes out on top every time.
Always.
You're a Barney fan?
Barney 5. Like, I used to watch Dick Van Dyke, you know?
Yeah.
That's a very weird name, though, Dick Van Dyke.
You know when they did the censor episode on Family Guy and they called it Blank Van Blank?
That's pretty crazy. But, yeah, as far as what I'm going to do for the rest of the day, I've already checked out two of the panels. I'm just right now walking around, just kind of enjoy the con because I didn't go to the con last year.
Jumping in on some podcasts.
Well, you know. Well, I love you guys. Anyways, I've known y'all for a couple of years, so... You make awesome music as well.
Thank you. Are you going to go to the Rail Festival and see us?
I hope I can. It's on Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay. If I'm not working, then I will be there for sure. But as far as plans for the rest of the day, whenever I leave here, me and a friend are supposed to go out to Club Safari out in Corinth, go check out Roses and Red play.
All right.
I haven't exactly been to a lot of their shows here lately. I'm kind of...
Take a flyer.
Been, you know, doing my own thing, a lot of work.
Right on. Well, I hope to see you out there. I'm gonna edit down this segment and start getting ready to upload this. But thanks for stopping by and all that.
Dude, awesome. Sweet. I really appreciate you guys having me.
You take care. We just did a fist bump, and for you people that can't see us, and Jern played with his beard.
Yeah.
It made it weird.
I love my beard getting touched.
Talk about a blast from the past. Mr. Robbie Ross, how you doing, buddy?
In the flesh.
Hey, baby.
Kill Pops in the flesh. Representing Comic-Con 2017, Tupelo edition.
What time did you get here?
I got here at... I was late. I was supposed to be in here at 9. I think I got here at 9:45.
We were later than that. We weren't as late as we were of day 2 of Delta Fan Fest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when we missed almost the whole day.
Yeah. That was...
But it actually worked out great because that's when everybody was starting to, like, wind down, and they weren't so busy that they could do interviews and stuff. We got
right.
all our interviews the second day.
Yeah.
The first day, we couldn't get anybody because they were so busy, like today.
Well, when I listened to that podcast, y'all seemed very busy, at least from the listener's perspective.
Yeah. I did a lot of editing to make it sound busy. Well, it was funny because we were so, like, wide-eyed, like, because that was the first, like, big con we'd been to. And we were just, like, there were hours of us going, hey, look at that. Yeah, hey, look at that.
They had us right by the entrance door, so we saw everybody that came in. As soon as they came in, we were right there. It was an ideal place to be.
All right. Your first thing they see. That's awesome. And the interviews y'all got on that one was great, too.
Yeah, we became good friends with Tom Nguyen. He's like a really, really cool dude.
That's really cool. So did you, because, you know, I know how time travels work because I worked behind the scenes before. So,
yeah.
Did y'all get any good interviews today as far as today's?
Well, we're actually, we're doing modified time travel today because I uploaded a segment. You know how I like do the delayed live thing?
Right.
We tried going live a couple of times and it just didn't work because of internet bandwidth and stuff like that. But I've been uploading segments at a time and posting them on Facebook. I'm fixing to upload our second one now, and this will be like a part of the third one.
Right. That's what happened when you're not behind the scenes anymore. You can't...
You're back into real time.
Exactly. Yeah. So by the time this airs, everybody would know already the interviews that are taking place.
Yeah, they'll know more than we do.
Yeah, no.
Isn't that weird? But yeah, man, one thing I wanted to talk about while I had you here is next weekend we got the Rail Festival and Seeking Seven's playing and as usual, and you got some surprises in store, I heard.
Yeah. We're,
spoiler alert
us. Rumors.
You know, you mentioned that like certain gigs, one gig in particular is your WrestleMania. Well,
right.
Railroad Festival has always been that for Seeking Seven. It's kind of our biggest thing of the year.
Somebody still do this.
Hey, you still got it.
Oh, that's even better.
That's even better. And Railroad Festival is that for us. It's our big event. It's our of the year, and we always look forward to it. And so this year, I think we have the tightest set list planned. And in years past, we've been so busy, we never even got to rehearse for the Railroad Festival. And this year, we actually rehearse. That probably means we won't do good if we rehearse for it.
No, you remember, you always have a bad practice right before.
That's right.
Right, make sure your last practice is a bad one, and you'll have a good show.
Yeah, then you have a good show. So, no, we got a really great show for the Railroad Festival planned. And, yeah, we decided to thank everybody and at least thank ourselves, because we're going to drop a new single, and it's going to drop Friday, the day of the Railroad Festival. Well, it starts Thursday, but we're going to drop it on Friday. It'll be available online and everywhere, and we're going to have at our merch table single copy CD, so you can actually buy some from us.
What's the name of the song?
Wonderful Pain.
Awesome.
We have a lot of songs, but this is the first one we're going to drop, and we're really stoked about it, and we even added it to our set list, so you get to experience it live if you come out Saturday night around 7.
Cool.
So stoked about it.
So last year y'all were promoting Chaos Before the Fall. It was still really fresh.
Right.
And this year you're still promoting that, but you're actually starting another album process?
Absolutely. Every artist knows that inspiration comes in waves. Sometimes you got it.
Right.
And sometimes you don't. And sometimes when you got it, when it rains, it pours. And I think right now it's just I'm capitalizing on that moment where the inspiration is fresh and trying to, and if I have to do it in the mode of singles, just drop a single at a time until we got enough for a record. And hey, if it works, that's, you know, we just want to get our music out there, and I think this is the way of doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands doing that now, and they're saying that, you know, it's a singles market.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I could see the argument both ways, how it could be business wise beneficial, and I think it more than business minded for us is just. It's just logistical. We want to get it out there. We want to get out there fast. And now everything moves really fast as far as how things can get around in the internet.
Well, you know, I told you at the last show that I watched with Seeking Seven, being former Seeking Seven alumni.
Once Seeking Seven member, always a Seeking Seven member.
But the lineup you have now, that's Seeking Seven. That's the lineup. That was the best show ever that I've seen or I've played or even been, you know, just a part of.
Look at you, gave me chill bumps. My hair is rising. I can say it feels good. It feels really, really good. It's all like, I guess everybody has a strong work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been kind of the serious one. All right, let's get to business. And it seems like nowadays that's it. We come in, we have a mission, we have a desire, we have what we want to do, and it's all business as far as we dig in deep and hit the grind, and that's why all these songs are popping out.
Right.
And
well, tell everybody, you know, your complete lineup as far as your band members and everything goes now.
Well, it's always been, you know, Dakota and Jake, and then when the shoes of Mr. Jeremy Farah were vacant, then I mentioned this before. I don't know if I mentioned it on the podcast, but we were very content just driving on and pushing as a three-piece.
Right.
And David showed up to help us with some cover songs. We had a cover gig, a wedding to do, and I said, hey, I need your help if you can do some, pull off some guitar parts. And here's the dinger. You got to learn them in like 2 weeks. And the only person I can think of is the way it always is. Yeah.
With us, our bands.
And only one I had confidence that could do that would
be. I need you to fill in. You got 2 days.
So David shows up to rehearse for this cover gig, and you know, the story is that's the beginning of it. It just felt right from that moment on, and one thing led to another. It was never intentional, and now it's it feels great. And Dave's great. Dave is amazing.
He's very talented.
He's a diamond in the rough. I mean, I think that he's just gone so unnoticed for so many years, and the fact that he wastes his time with us is mind-baffling, but it feels good. He wants to be there. He's contributing, and it's great. It really is great. And so the other, I mean, and it's going to debut. Where's the bell? You can here on Kill Pop Culture. this is why we need full participation at the Amory Rail Festival 2017, because we're also going to be shooting a music video, The Wonderful Pain, in that video will be clips of our performance. We're going to have three cameras rolling while we play, so we need a lot of people there, and we need some really great, because you guys are going to be on TV, man. We're starting our video shoot that night as well.
Sweet.
That's really cool. I'll be front and center.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, cool. So you'll have, when y'all play next Saturday, you'll have Chaos Before the Fall, this new single, and have you still got copies of The Surface for
sale? I do. Yeah, we still have
copies. So all three you'll have available.
We will. We'll have that.
I got a sneak peek at, because Ty did our Kill Pop Culture shirts for us, I got a sneak peek at the new Seeking Seven shirts. Have you seen them yet? They look amazing.
You know, that's funny because I've only seen a picture of them.
So I actually got to more, see it. Yeah, you got more. Well, let me go ahead and tell you, it looks amazing.
That's awesome.
Like, I've never seen screen printing done in the halftones.
Yeah,
where you've got like a ghosty, gray, wispy image.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good. I'm definitely gonna pick me up one.
Yeah, I think I made a mistake and ordered too little. Not enough quantity, because as soon as the word got on the street that this new design is out there, I gotten more calls for orders for these shirts than I've actually ordered. So I'm probably going to be in trouble on that. But
that's
hey,
a good problem to have.
Get them while they're hot. Yeah, courtesy of Twist of Print. Those guys are great, man. I'm looking at the Kill Pop Culture shirt now, and it's the quality. You can't get any better than that at all.
Yeah, they did our work shirts too.
So look, if you need a printing, I have to go ahead and plug them now. Hit up Twist of Print. Out of Tupelo. Those guys are great.
I think they're going by Madhouse.
Yeah, Madhouse.
Madhouse Graphics.
Well, I was invited to a page called Twisted Print, and it was Justice's page. So whatever, Madhouse or Twisted Print, whatever you got.
They're sponsoring the Railroad Festival, so everybody can check them out. Their information.
And we want to see everybody at the Railroad Festival, and thanks for having me on the Comic Con edition of Kill Pop
Absolutely,
Culture.
Man.
I
thanks
feel
for
at home. I feel like...
Yeah, you are at home.
Kill Pop Culture Illumina.
You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
See, we have that same rule.
That's right.
Well, we're definitely going to... I haven't told you this yet, but I've made plans for you. I hope that's okay.
I'm used to that.
You're used to that. We're going to either the... Maybe for the 75th, but definitely for the 100th episode of Kill Pop Culture, I'm going to get you on the show. I'm going to get Clint. And we're just going to have like a big, everybody that's ever done anything, Kella, Anthony, and we're just going to have like a big roundtable talk. We're going to recap some stuff and tell old Kill Pop Culture stories. We may make like a big crossover event.
Yeah.
Like a DC crossover.
That'd be really cool. And if my math is right, we're already pretty close to that. We're at
60. This will be episode 66.
66. So
And we just hit the 2-year mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had our second birthday.
You know what reminded me of the 2-year mark was, I think it was the first podcast that I officially worked with was an interview with the Walking Dead
Max Calder.
Yeah. And here I seen a whole table full of Walking Dead actors.
Yeah.
And that was really, really cool.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, that's how Kill Pop's culture really launched, I guess, was that.
Yeah, man,
that
I went back and started looking through the old episodes the other day, and that episode that you're talking about is close to 800 downloads.
Yeah.
So it's like ahead of episode one now.
It was the one that kind of really took hold and took off and brought Kill Pop what it is today. It's really cool.
Cool. We'll be listening for, I know you can't make it tomorrow, but I want you to check out that panel we're doing. We're going to record it and put it either as a whole episode by itself or part of the Tupelo Comic Con episode. I really don't know. I'm going to have so much material. It's going to be more than one show.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
There may be a part one and part two or something like that.
Well, being a subscriber to Kill Pop Culture as well as a member, I'm also a member. I get cool little notifications every time a new show goes up, so I'll definitely be watching out for it.
Right on. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks for having me over, man. I'm so glad that I got to hang out, and it feels like old times.
It is.
Back at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Well, you guys keep on keeping on.
You bet, man.
Yes, sir.
Love you, brother. Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh, yeah. They do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
All right, man. I finally got Rush on the show. Hey, did you ever find Tim?
I did find Tim.
So did you tell them that
Tim is alive? He is a living, breathing person.
And you proved it to your friends over there.
And I introduced him to my friends. they still don't believe. They think that it was a guy that I paid to come up and say he was Tim.
Or an imaginary person that. Oh yeah, so you had an imaginary friend.
Yes, I had an imaginary friend.
And to prove he's not imaginary, you paid a guy to pretend to be Tim.
I paid a guy to pretend to be Tim.
If I had a nickel.
So, you know, it's just how things sometimes work out.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show is because from a comic book collector standpoint, the story of how you came into the business you're in now, which is doing very well, by the way, I see you've had a lot of...
We've had a lot of people come by, yes. Got a lot of folks coming by. It's kind of aggravating because I bet you there's been 100 customers come by there wanting books that I know I have that are sitting in my house. You know,
I bet that's hard to do when you're going through all your books to decide what to bring to Comic-Con because you've got so many you can't bring them all.
Well, and I mean, I'd have to buy 5 booths,
right?
And I'd probably have to hire help to get them.
Oh yeah.
We did a con in Memphis summer before last, and we took a ton of dollar books, just like 40 or 45 boxes of just nothing but dollar books,
right,
and some 50-cent books, and they didn't move. We didn't move any of them. We sold more trade paperbacks than we did anything at that con. So this time we kind of focused on
the higher dollar ones.
Well, really not even higher dollar ones, just your $2 and $3 books from your, you know, your more popular characters, Captain America, Spider-Man, you know, Iron Man, stuff like that. And we didn't bring as many dollar books, and it seems like everybody's wanting dollar books here. So, you know, it's kind of...
You never know.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah. You probably don't have an exact number, but about how many books did you bring, you think?
I think we brought around 25,000.
Wow.
Roughly.
You're definitely the largest comic book vendor at Zubil Comic Con.
Well, I don't know if that. I would probably say so. I've been around and I haven't seen anybody else with as many books. Sometimes that can be a curse though because
yeah, you got more to move.
I've got more to move and more crap to get ready. You know. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have many to take home.
I hope I don't, but I know I'm going to have to take home some, and I'm tired of toting boxes. I'll be honest with you, I'm more tired of bags and boards than I am anything. So,
I bet there's a lot of that going on.
It's awful.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a meth addict, I would probably be better off than, you know, on the bags and boards.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and tell everybody your story here about how you came into this, because it's basically, in a nutshell, the equivalent of finding a lamp on the ground and rubbing it and a comic book genie popping out and granting you a wish.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a small-time collector. I had a couple of long boxes left over from whenever I was in, you know, grade school, and which I had some pretty good issues because I had managed to collect during a pretty good time.
You know,
had Amazing Spider-Man 300, 298, 99, several, you know, the whole McFarlane run, and then just some odds and ends stuff, some older Silver Age Daredevil, but just, you know, maybe 500-600 books. But I had a friend of mine who I had met about 15 years ago, and he had been telling me for roughly, you know, 12 or 13 years, you know, hey, you need to come down and check out our comic books. You need to come down, you know, and look and see what I got. And And, you know, I'd kept putting him off and putting him off. And he's like, now, I've got a lot of them.
And he was trying to sell them to you,
he was
basically.
Trying to sell them to me. Yeah, he was wanting to move the collection. And, you know, and I really didn't have a big interest in it because I, you know, didn't know what kind of money he was talking, you know. I mean, you know, $100,000, $200,000. I mean, you know, you don't know what people are asking for.
Right.
And
sometimes people think their stuff is worth way more than it actually
is. Oh, yes.
Especially when it comes to collectibles.
And it is. And it's worth what it is to, you know, anything's worth what it's worth to you and what somebody's willing to pay for it. So
exactly.
And that's how the business runs. But I finally broke down in the about November of 2000, and let's see, this is 17. Had them for 2 years. So it'd be 2014. Would that be what? Or 15? Yeah, 15. 2015. And I broke down, and I rode with a buddy of mine and him down to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And we pulled up Tuscaloosa, and real nice home up on the hill with a big lake, and there's a big, huge barn sitting down close to the road away from the house. And we pulled up, and we got out, and we walked inside the barn, and he said it's all upstairs. So we'd eased upstairs, and when I went upstairs, I still kept the video of the first time I saw the books. I refused to delete it off my phone.
Right.
The entire barn loft that was used to store hundreds and hundreds of bales of hay was filled from one end to the other with nothing but long boxes.
So basically pallets and pallets and pallets.
Yes. I mean, it's about 350 long boxes.
Which would equate basically to, like, what, maybe 80,000?
It was around 80,000 books.
Good gosh. And you had no idea, like, he hadn't even discussed before that the volume at all.
No.
He just said, come look at my comic books.
He just said, come look at my comic books. And so I started to just, I mean, there really was nowhere to go through. And you couldn't really start anywhere.
Yeah, where would you start with 80,000 books?
And he finally just, after I wandered around the room for, you know, like 25 or 30 minutes, he finally looked at me and he said, just start opening up boxes. He said, there's nowhere to start.
Right.
And he said, you're not going to finish.
No.
And so I just started flipping lids. And there were books that, and I've still got the majority of them, there were books that I had never heard of before. From, you know, I grew up Marvel, DC, you know, Image, Dark Horse. But there were companies that I never even knew existed.
Right.
Eclipse, Comico, you know, just even Valiant. I was not familiar with Valiant because nobody around here ever sold that stuff.
Right.
I was like, okay, I'm good. After I went through, I spent all day in that barn. And honestly, when I left the barn, I feel about like I do right now because I've had no sleep.
Yeah,
been up, you know, bagging, boarding books, pricing books, and get up early to set up for this show. But I was just exhausted mentally and physically because I'm moving boxes constantly.
Oh, yeah, they're heavy. Long boxes are heavy if they're full.
And I took hundreds of pictures of books, just things that I had no idea about. You know, I wanted to check the prices. And I came back home, and he kept telling me, you know, I'm like, well, what do you want for them? He said, you tell me if you want to buy them first.
At that point, had you came across any what you would consider to be key issues?
Oh, yeah, like two Amazing Spider-Man 129s. You know,
so
like,
you knew right away you had some gold.
I knew there were money books there, but then again, there are tens of thousands of books that I had no idea.
Right.
You know,
they could have been
worth,
money books.
You know,
not,
are these
yeah.
worthless, or are these, you know, worth a dollar or what? And
you know, on Pawn Stars or that the one in Vegas is Pawn Stars. Let me call my friend.
Yes.
Did
well,
you?
That's what I did.
You called an expert.
I called an expert. And those of you that might be listening, you know. You don't know him, Jamie Wheeler from Etowamba County. He's a guru when it comes to comics. So I called him and I sent him dozens of pictures, and he was like, yeah, that's a good book. Yeah, that's a good book. Yeah, that's a good book, you know, and on and on and on. And so I made another trip down a couple of weeks later, and I took my brother-in-law, because my brother-in-law, we do a lot of collectible buying together and have for years and years, and flipped several items together and several collections together. And I told him, I said, let's go down. I want you to look at these and, you know, let's check them out. So we go down and we look at the books. And just to really make a long story short, we kind of went back and forth with the guy and finally cut a deal, settled on a price. And not only did I get the 80,000 plus books, but we also got over 400 posters.
Oh, wow.
That sports posters and comic posters from the mid to late 80s and early 90s. And some, you know, like the Adam Hughes She-Hulk poster is a, you know, that's a real hot commodity right now.
Yeah, people are big time into posters again. People, it's come back around.
It's come back around. And we've moved a few posters. We hadn't tried to sell a lot of them. Now, we've sold several of our comic posters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like the Bo Jackson bat poster, you know, and the Michael Jordan wings posters. And, you know, I mean, it's all those real obscure 90s, you know, late 80s, mid 80s posters. So we got that thrown in with the deal, and about 300 starting lineup action figures.
Good gosh.
All still in the package.
Well, to back up a little bit, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, it basically winded up being because when somebody says, hey, I got a comic book collection, I might be interested to say, why don't you come look at it, you automatically assume that it's a collection that they used to collect themselves. You're expecting a couple, maybe four long boxes, and you're thinking it's their collection, but it was basically a comic book store that had closed, and like they had their whole inventory.
Yes.
Is that how that happened?
That is how it happened. The comic book store closed in 1994. So every book in this barn is all pre-1994.
See, that's my era right there. I love the 90s comics.
And that's what, you know, we got over 100 issues of Spawn number one. We had over 100 issues of, you know, Azrael, 100 issues of Venom, 100 issues of Maximum Carnage, Spider-Man Unlimited, which I know those are not really, you know, they're not high dollar books by any means, but, you know, when you've got 100 issues of a $10 book,
yeah,
you know, it can add up real quick.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, even if you get average a dollar a book, which would be more than that, you got $80,000.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's $80,000 if they all sell for a dollar.
Yeah.
And we've pretty much calculated that most every book we have can sell for at least a dollar. But since, you know, since then, my buddy that Jamie Wheeler told me, he said, whenever we finally settled on it, bought the books, moved them back, and that was an adventure in itself.
I bet. Yeah, that's one thing I was going to ask you about. Where in the hell do you put 80,000 comic books? I got a pretty big house, but I don't have room for 80,000.
They're
comics.
In my living room. They're in my
front. Like
they're in my
made
front
of
dining
boxes.
Room. They're in my son's back bedroom. They're
our
out
kitchen
in the
table
garage.
Is long boxes with a tablecloth.
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's it. Our coffee table is just long boxes with, you know, a piece of glass sitting over the top of it.
Yeah, there you go.
And we went down. We took a 16-foot covered trailer, and we loaded it up, and it didn't fit everything, so we had to load the back of my Tahoe up, and that still didn't fit everything, so we had to load the back of my Expedition up.
Goodness.
And it still didn't fit anything, and then the hitch broke. The ball broke on my hitch.
Oh, Lord. I hadn't heard this.
And we had to drive 30 minutes to another town to a little, like, I don't know, little hardware store.
And so many damn comic books that broke
and,
your trailer
and it broke the trailer hitch. And then to top that off, now, of course, we're driving from Tuscaloosa back up to North Mississippi. And we get we start to leave, and it comes a monsoon.
Thank God it's covered, right?
And yes, and not a monsoon, you know, just a passing storm. It rained all the way. It rained the entire way home, to the point where when I got home, I couldn't even drive the trailer up to my house. I had to back it in the barn at the end of my driveway and leave it.
Wow.
So even whenever I got my comics home, I had no idea still what I had because we couldn't even look at them. So
I would be so antsy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that was like us because, you know, we're opening boxes that there's we would open a box and there'd be 50 issues of New Mutants 99. And we're like, okay, where's the box that's got 50 issues of New Mutants 98?
Right.
It never found that box.
Ah.
But we did find one good copy of it.
Well, that's another question I was going to ask. You probably don't have one book in particular, but is there like a handful in particular that was like the book? Because I know you, I remember you telling me before that you kept some for yourself.
I did. I pulled a few from my Amazing Spider-Man run. And then just some random books, you know, that I wanted. I'm a weird guy. I like Tarzan and John Carter and weird stuff like that. So I pulled, you know, straight runs of that. And Werewolf by Night, if I found any of those, which I didn't find a first appearance of Moon Knight. I pulled a few for myself, you know, but the rest is for sale.
So what would have been like one of the, like, the most, I guess, valuable or most awesome finds in the whole collection?
Well,
would there be one, or it'd be hard to say?
We pulled one box we had was filled with nothing but Silver Age X-Men. And it was a straight run from like issue three all the way to 350 of the Silver Age and the early Bronze books. Missing maybe five issues, you know, like a 1 and a 2 and a 14 and like a 19 and stuff like that. But, of course, you know, we got key issues in it too. And they were in all really good shape. Like there's two issues of number 4 that we have that'll grade mid-range. But we did pull an issue 7 and an issue 10 that we have graded now on our wall at 9.2.
Oh, wow.
So, you know,
CGC.
You find in a, yeah, I mean, the CGC 9.2 X-Men number 7.
Jesus,
I mean,
and they grade pretty strict.
That's a unicorn.
If they say 9.2, it's probably looks
right.
Visually
it
perfect.
It looks visually perfect.
Because a 9.8 basically is perfect.
A 9.8 is,
there's
to
no
them,
such thing as a 10,
right,
from what
they
I
don't,
understand.
They don't grade a 10.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Is if they pulled it straight off the press,
it still
it's a 9.8.
It's still, it could possibly be a 9.9. I have seen a few 9.9s of certain books, but they are very rare.
Yeah. Because 10 would mean literally impossibly perfect.
Yes, there's no imperfection in it whatsoever. And every press even has some
variations.
You know, some variations in them. So,
well, I know you got, of course, this going this weekend, and you're going to be here tomorrow. Do you have any other things lined up for as far as appearances?
We're tossing around the notion of going to the Mississippi Con down in Jackson. I believe that's June the 28th, maybe, or 24th, somewhere in that, at the end of, you know, somewhere around the end of June. We've talked to the guy down there. He does have some booths still available. And we're just trying to figure out, you know, basically will it be worth it? Because it is a pretty good haul. You know, you're talking 3-hour drive down there to move a lot of books. And,
yeah.
And
it is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Because, I mean, when you start out at a booth, which we've got it easy. We got a laptop and some cables. But you start at an empty space of just tables, and you turn it into a store, basically, a storefront almost.
Right.
Because you've got your stuff in the back
with
the CGC.
That's it.
You got your key, like, well, my higher end, you know, up on display, and then you got the long boxes laid out. It's a lot of work.
It is, it's not terrible work. When it comes to it, it's just a lot of it is monotonous.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, putting boards in bags. We use the resealable bags. We don't put tape on them, and I do that for multiple reasons. Some people are against it, some are for it. You know, it's just whatever your, you know, whatever your preference is, but we use the resealable bags because I don't like to have the tape on the bag in case you want to take the book out and it snag on the tape, tear the cover, take some color off.
And that's the worst, when you flip it up and the tape's still there and you go to pull the book out and it sticks to the book.
And it sticks to the book, yes. But we use the resealable bag, so you have to peel the little tab off of it. So there's little tab squigglies all over my house. My wife is about to go nuts because, I mean, she opens up the refrigerator, pours her a glass of milk, and there's, you know, there's little plastic tab stickies in it, you know. But, you know, they're hanging from the ceiling fans. My dog comes running in the living room. I can't even see it because it's covered in little tabs. And, you know, it's just, but it's monotonous. And then when you go to pricing books, I look at Overstreet's Price Guide. I look at mycomicshop.com, you know, and I kind of try to find a price that beats everything else.
Right.
Because we want to move books and we want people to have what, you know, what they're looking for at a reasonable price. And so, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds of books that are $2 a piece, and you know, we price keys well below what they're, you know, what they're going for anywhere else.
Yeah, I looked at some of your prices. They're very competitive. I'm actually a customer of yours.
Yes,
you've helped
me
out with some runs. I got a lot of Batman and Detective Comic runs, and I have gaps in between them, and you've got a ton of that because it's in the 90s. That's my favorite era.
I think Batman is what we had more of than anything. I think right now we're around 25 to 30 long boxes of nothing but Batman titles. Detective Comics, Batman, Legends of the Dark Knight, Brave and the Bold, anything that has Batman family. I mean, you name it. If it's a Batman book, 94 and back, we own it.
Nice.
And usually it's multiple copies.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, you would have one long box, and because I was going in numerical order, finding the ones that I need to complete the little gaps in my runs there, and it would be a whole long box, but it would only be like 7 issues.
It would be like 7
yeah,
issues, because
there would be like a stack this long of 658 or whatever.
And that's what my brother-in-law called me the other night, and he found a book that, you know, he thought, hey, we need to get a price on this book, and he called me and he said, hey, I need you to go in the office and check, I believe it was Detective Comics, and he told me the issue number, and I went in and he said, how many copies do we have? And I said, do you want to know exact? And he said, yes, I want to know exact. And I counted up. I had 70 copies of that one book.
Goodness.
So, you know, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel
it's
like
a good problem to have,
a wretched soul because I own 70 copies of this obscure Batman book that nobody really wants, you know, other than to fill a run. So.
But see, that's important because to me, as a customer of yours, because eBay has gotten so ridiculous with shipping, they'll charge you $10 for one book that you paid $3 for.
Right.
And it's what I would call a common. And if you go one by one on eBay, you'll go broke doing that.
Yes, and that's one of our biggest problems with eBay is right now we're about to we've just opened up a Facebook page.
Okay.
And we're trying to do it to where we can sell multiple books at a lower price than what we would charge on eBay because we don't have to pay the fees. And we don't have to, you know. And then the shipping, though, the one thing about the shipping is I prefer to ship priority mail because it's insured.
Right.
And I want the people to get their book. I want it to get there safely. And I want their investment protected. And at the same time, I want my business protected, you know.
Yeah.
And so we ship priority mail, and we can ship up to 10 books at $5.75.
See, that's awesome.
And most of our auctions that we have listed on eBay are 5-book runs. So you can get 5 books, and then we combine shipping. So if you've got a run of 10 books that you want, you can buy both runs and pay the same flat price for shipping.
You know what's funny? I forgot about this, but I had actually bought a run from you on eBay, and I didn't know it was you.
Yes.
And that's what caught my attention, that the shipping prices were so good. And so that's a living proof that you do have good shipping prices, because I remember Bob, I was like, man, that's not far from here. And then Tim told me, he was like, yeah, man, that's him.
And then you were like,
I could have just went
Tim,
to his house.
I've known him since we were in
forever.
College together.
Yeah, forever.
I can tell stories, you know. Which we won't do that.
We probably couldn't tell any stories.
We can't tell the stories of the good old days at Etowah Community College. But no, you know, and that's the one thing. eBay is so particular, and right now sellers are getting ripped off on eBay. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a lot of people that are exploiting the eBay buyer-friendly policy, and they're demanding refunds. And eBay sides with them 99% of the time.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to get away from it, and because we run an honest business, and we're getting more trouble from dishonest buyers. Because if anybody's not satisfied with a book, we will gladly take it back. Right. And refund full money and their shipping. And we would do that regardless whether that's an eBay policy. But the problem is people are demanding that, and eBay is refunding people and allowing them to keep your product. And I don't even know if that's legal, but they do it. And it gets to be really aggravating. And hopefully if we have a Facebook, once we get this Facebook page going pretty strong and we get people buying from us, you know, we're going to be able to prove, on our own terms that we are honest sellers and we do have good prices and we're just out to move books and help people out.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned the Facebook thing because before we wrap up, I wanted you to plug, go ahead and tell everybody the name of your business. I'm sure you have an eBay store.
We've got an eBay store. It's listed under Bratt Comics and Collectibles, BRAT. And our Facebook page is also Bratt Comics and Collectibles. And my eBay ID is Rush9, lowercase RUSH9. But like I said, we've got everything we have on eBay is a best offer. And if something is priced on there that you think, oh, man, make an offer. We rarely turn down offers, rarely. They have to be really low ball before we turn down a book. And
yeah, I think some people just sometimes throw something out there ridiculous,
right,
just to see if they'll buy it.
And, I mean, we're going to buy it on a lot of stuff, and some people may say we're ridiculous. But, we don't, lowballing, for a 15-book, if it's a $15 five-book run, and we're asking $3 a book for that run, you throw a $3 offer out there, we're probably not going to take it. But, $8, $9, somewhere in that neighborhood, shoot. Five books for $8, and they're in really good shape, gonna ship it well, be protected. You can't beat it anywhere else.
And I think you have an advantage over a lot of other sellers in that aspect because you can do that because you do have such a volume of stock.
Yes.
It kind of gives you a little leeway on that because you're not giving up something you don't already have more of.
Right. Because a lot of our stuff, once we sell it, we can immediately hit relist.
Yep.
and go with it. But I will tell you this, in the future, we've even talked to a couple of guys about our own website.
Right.
Creating our own website. And we're constantly buying more books because that's the curse of getting into business. You end up
once this airs, you'll get phone calls.
Yeah,
probably.
We have people call us all the time. Hey, can you come? Can you come look at my collection? You want to buy it? And we've bought another 20,000 book collection.
Wow!
And then we bought another collection a couple of weeks ago of around 3,000 books. So we're well over the 100K mark as far as books goes now. And we're still having, we've had people come in the show today.
Yeah.
And hey,
I think I heard somebody say something while I was over there.
I mean, they're trying to sell us books. And I'm like going through it and I'm like, I have every book that you have sitting here,
yeah.
And I try to, I try to give a good price. I just got to have enough room where it's worth it to me to carry it on and flip it and find somebody that really wants the book.
Right.
So, but I mean, you know, we're always open to look at anybody's collections if anybody wants to move it. And we're not going to hurt, nobody's going to hurt our feelings by, you know, not accepting an offer. And I hope we don't hurt anybody's feelings if we make one.
Right. and did you, you know, you said you had a Facebook, but what, how do you find that?
You can, if you, we've posted under the Tupelo Comic Con. So if you go to Tupelo Comic Con's page and you scroll down through their comments, we have posted a comment on there so you can find it. And so it'll be Brat Comics Collectibles. And we were just kind of advertising the titles.
What does it say there on here?
Buy a comic or kill a Stark. So, or I will kill a Stark.
Oh, I thought that was your advertisement.
Oh, no. This is my cosplay. I'm dressed as George R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones. And I made the mistake. I've sprayed silver in my hair, as you can see.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake. I almost ran my fingers through my hair earlier today. And
oh.
I mean, my whole face. I cannot wait to get home and get in the shower and get this crap off of me.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh, it was a great idea at the time. Oh, this will be cool. Hey, dress up like George R.R. Martin. And then I get here and, you know, I look more like, I don't know, Mega Man or something, you know. But yeah, I tried to dye it with hair dye originally, and I almost passed out because it was like I was breathing formaldehyde.
I know, man. It was St. Patrick's Day. We were doing a gig, and we had a guy in our band at the time named Joe Redbeard. He dyed his beard like as red as Kelly's hair, and I was like, well, it's St. Patrick's Day. I'm gonna be Mark Greenbeard. So I went to dye my goatee green. And like your mustache and beard is right under your nose.
Oh yes,
and
it's
that
awful.
Stuff smells horrible.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
I was stuffing my nostrils.
Listen, so I was telling my wife the whole time she was putting it on. I'm like, I'm dying. She's like, I just suck it up. I do this all the time. It was an experience that I'll never forget. And I'm thankful that I do not have to. If I ever go gray, I will not do the Just for Men. I will go gray gracefully.
That's what I call it when your hair gets gray and you dyed. I call that painting the barn.
Yes, yes.
Hey, I like my gray hair. I earned it.
Hey,
the grays in my beard, I don't pluck them out because
I
wear them with pride.
I have a few stragglers that pop up here and there, and I know I've earned it. I've been a school teacher for 15 years, dealing with 17-year-old kids in the 11th grade. So I'm surprised I don't have as many gray hairs as I have already. So.
Yeah. That'll do it to you. Well, man, I appreciate you coming by and talking to us. I know you're busy. You need to get back and sell some comic books. But you're going to be here all day today and all day tomorrow.
I'll be here all day today, be here till 7 o'clock tonight, be here tomorrow all day. And, you know, come by. See us.
Yeah. Everybody come out, get you some comic books from Brat Comics. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
I want you to say that.
Okay.
You got to say that on air. Get a little bit closer to the mic. That right, about right there.
Okay.
Now, what tell the podcast what you just told me.
All right, Dragon Con is what us nerds like to refer to as Nerdy Gras.
That's hilarious.
It is a party 24/7. They have bars in most of every of the host hotels. There's like 5 or 6 host hotels.
Yeah.
And everyone is drunk, grinding. If that's your thing, you just enjoy yourself. Scantily clad, if that's what you're into. If that's not what you're not, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is one of the most fun experiences I've ever had. I've been the last 5 years going again. I'm telling you, it's swell as hell.
Well, I'm sitting here talking to, we're joined in the middle of the conversation that I'm having here with Sean from More Wares. You're our neighbors for the con today. What we were talking about is how cool it would be if there was like a, I don't want to say adult-oriented con, but like a... You know, where you could go to the bar and grab a beer and walk around and look at stuff.
Yeah, man, exactly.
Simple and cold. I don't mean to sound like an alcoholic, but it's like, it's 6:47, yeah, man. I'm 2 hours past Miller time.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, like, everybody
it's been beer 30 since beer 30.
Everybody that's a little bit lubed up on the inside is a lot more friendly towards everyone else.
And they'll buy more stuff.
Exactly.
That's what I was telling you. Another thing I was saying before we went on the air, that this building was built to have the furniture market. And when they do those I've never been to one, but like when they do like the furniture expo things where the dealers come and buy furniture, like they want those guys liquored up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I so can dig
like
that.
Kegs everywhere, and I'm assuming, you know, like open bar and everything.
Honestly, yeah, I'm a cheap drunk. You give me drunk, I do whatever you want.
Exactly. But tell us a little bit about what y'all got going on over here and about your business and where y'all are from and just kind of the lowdown on what you're doing.
Myself is from Columbus, and Laura Lee Moore, from Moore Ware, is from Madison area. And she makes all these awesome things out of resin. She makes necklaces and earrings and all that business out of polymer clay and all that business. And I mean, she's really good at what she does. I'm just the good looks and the charisma of the shop. I sell it with a smile, and she works it with her fingers.
Well, it's obviously working because y'all have been busy. Like, I've seen y'all have had a lot of traffic over there today.
Oh, yeah. Like what really worried me is this is our only second con, but our first con was in Jackson, Anime Fest. And I kept prefacing as, if you don't sell anything, it's okay. If you sell one thing, you did really well.
Yeah.
Well, she made really good bank on that. I mean, I say really good bank. You know, I'm not talking about she made thousands, but she did really well on her first con. So this is her second one. She's still done pretty darn well. And so it makes her feel really good about herself. Of course, I broke one of her bath bombs, and she lost her lid on me. But, hey, you know, I mucked up. I had to pay for it, literally.
And that's the thing is there's two elements to it here. If you're even if you're selling something, like we're not even selling anything at all. We're just trying to get listeners. But even if you don't have like the greatest payday on selling things, you're getting your brand out there.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're promoting your name, and people remember you. Like people remember us that haven't seen or heard from us since last year at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, yeah, I remember y'all, Kill Pop Culture. So it's kind of a branding as well as selling things, like on a merchant level.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of times it's not so much as, I mean, of course the product is a big deal, but charisma. Like you guys, for instance. I had never met you guys before, but you guys are so charismatic, it makes me want to talk to you. I think a lot of times with businesses, charisma sells more than products. And that sounds really weird, but I would be more willing to buy something that is a little less presentable from someone who sold it with a smile and with genuine charisma, not someone who sounds like a door-to-door car salesman and it's like, I'm going to buy you this car that's got sawdust in the engine to keep it running smooth.
Yeah, and you know, even if I walked into a store and, you know, there's a clerk behind the counter, like, what do you want? I'll be like, nothing now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You know, you want somebody with a friendly face, like, come on in, how you doing? You know, yeah, I get it. I get it 100%. Forgive me, I'm not a big anime guy, but tell me, what are you cosplaying today?
Oh, I am Asuma from Naruto. He's not really like he's a main character, but not really one of the popular ones. Mm-hmm. I really like him because he's always smokes. I've never smoked in my life, so I feel pretty damn cool, with a cigarette. But his thing is he's pretty lazy and chill for the most part, and he gets to keep his beard, so I don't have to shave my beard.
Oh,
so
there
it works out well. And Laura Lee herself is Lady Tsunade from Naruto. She becomes the fifth Hokage, I believe, and the leader of the village, and she's not someone to be trifled with.
Gotcha. A lot of people obviously recognized you because I saw a lot of people came up and talked to you today about your outfit. Do you do other characters?
Oh, man. I do. Tomorrow I'm going to be Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time. I'm going to wear the guy liner and everything.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, it's going to feel good. It's going to... It really depends on the type of con we're going to as to how we dress.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of revolve it around where we're going to be. So if it's an anime con, we prefer to be an anime character. But I was Captain Boomerang from Suicide Squad at the last con we were at.
Go ahead, take one.
Didn't really sell too well. People were like, I hate Suicide Squad. So, you know. Me personally, loved it. That's why I was Captain Boomerang.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Me too. I think DC gets a bad rep if we're going to go down there. I think they get slammed for crap that is just the dog's bollocks, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, we have a segment on the show that we call movies that don't suck, even though people say they do. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of movies that people say that suck, and they kind of get caught up in the negative hype. And I've literally seen people on Facebook before, you know, bash a movie that they haven't seen. And that kind of was the idea behind me starting that segment, to set the record straight. And to your point, we've done two DC, we've done Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman on that segment.
So what was your verdict, if you don't mind asking?
I liked them both.
Yeah.
For different reasons. But especially, I mean, I can actually, even though I'm a huge Batman fan, I can see the average, everyday moviegoer's problem with Batman v Superman. I can see their side of it. As a comic book guy, I don't have a problem with it. But with Suicide Squad, like, I watched it again when I was off work a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, what in the world can anybody have a problem with this movie?
I really don't
see it. It's got everything in it that, like, you know, dare I say, compare it to, like, the Avengers or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got that element. Even, like, some of the bubblegum stuff that people like, even if you're not into comic books, you should like it. So, I don't know.
I feel like it, no matter what DC does, they're going to get garbage for it. So DC is too dark, so they go a little bit lighter with Suicide Squad. They kind of take notes, I say, maybe not, but from things like Guardians of the Galaxy, you know? They want to have a more fun movie. Once they do that, they get slammed for, honestly, I don't even know why it was so hated, because I've watched that movie maybe 5 times, and I've been blown away by it.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman, it was dark and gritty, but I don't think you
could. So's the comic.
Yeah, you could not have done the movie without being dark and gritty.
Yeah.
Marvel just rinses and repeats the same regurgitated nonsense over and over. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy the Marvel movies. I'm not saying they're terrible movies.
Yeah, they're
but
great.
They're the same thing over there. They're lighthearted. Like, Civil War should have been so much darker.
Yeah.
It really should have been.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it is what it is. I agree. It should have, and somebody probably should have died.
Yes.
Instead of just getting hurt.
Exactly.
Because I hate to say it, but if you're going to have a war, and I'm using quote fingers, it, you know, there's usually casualties.
Yeah.
But they wanted to keep it, you know, keep the kids from crying in the theater, so they kept everybody alive. But it's crazy, man. I don't really get it, but I'm glad they're still cranking out movies. And, oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say. If you tried to make Batman funny, it wouldn't be true to the material.
No.
Because he's not a funny person at all. Like, he never cracks any jokes. That's why he's surrounded by people that do, like Nightwing.
Yeah, you know,
whenever Nightwing takes on the cowl, I found myself snickering the other day, and I can't even remember which title I was reading, but I think it was that one shot where Nightwing had taken over for Batman because he had to go do something, and he went. There was a girl, like, he interacted with, and he walks up and says, "Damn, she was hot." And, like,
yeah,
Batman
would never say
that. Like, that's so Dick Grayson. And, like, in Justice League, you know, like, the Flash and the Green Lantern, you know, they're the comic relief. And they're all the time messing with Batman. I'm like, "God, why are you so serious all the time?" And then he's all the time getting on to him, like, "Could y'all be serious for a minute?" And they're, like, making fun of him for being so. He's not a funny person. That's just not, I mean, he's jaded. He's. And even Jamie pointed out on our show that he's clearly suffering from PTSD and other, like, psychological issues. And you're not going to get a bunch of funny jokes out of him. That's not that character at all.
The closest thing to humor I've seen him do is in the Justice League Dark movie that just came out recently.
Yeah.
Where there are these specter-like reapers that are circling around him.
Mm-hmm.
He can't see them. Only Constantine can. And they're like, we know you. You've escaped us before. And they're just staring at him. And Constantine, like, he's like, "What's going on?" And they mention, I think Zatanna is like, "These ghosts, these specters are watching you." And Batman is just staring forward. He can't see them. One leans really close into his face, and all Batman says is, "Boo." And they jump away from him. That's the closest thing to comic relief I've seen
him
do.
The bad thing is, though, he was probably being serious.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about Batman. He scares death.
Yeah. And that's what we were talking about earlier. I think it was you, maybe, we were talking to it about the psychological advantage that Batman had over Superman
yeah.
in the fight, because in the comics, Superman's always been a little bit freaked out by Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
He even said so in the New 52 Batman v Superman comics that he was just like, man, that guy creeps me out.
I mean, I can understand it. I mean, think about you. You're Superman. You're a god among men.
Yeah.
Though you were raised not to believe that. And you have this normal human being that confronts you without fear. That's intimidating. Everything Batman does is intimidating. So I can understand Superman being a wee bit intimidated from that.
To plug your business and stuff that y'all are running over here, what do you have social media and stuff like that to check out?
We actually do have, or she rather. I can't say we. I'm the pretty looks.
You're the hype man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. An Etsy website, which is also Moore's Wares. I think it's just her Etsy, but she's also a new up and coming business. This is her like I said, second con. But she really does enjoy what she does. I think more or less it's not so much as the selling things that she's enjoying as to meeting the other people who are excited to see what she does. Because she honestly gets more excited about people getting excited about her stuff than buying things. Because about 40% of the people who come by the booth don't buy things, but when they are excited about the things they see, she gets excited. Yeah. And I get excited just because I'm meeting new people. So it's a win-win.
Right, yeah. And to us, it's all about the networking. You know, we're trying to, you know, raise awareness for our podcast. And it was funny last year because we laugh at ourselves. We handed out, like, good God, probably about 500 stickers. And we found about 100 of them in the street outside.
Man, that's awful. That's awful.
But, you know, the 400 that didn't throw their stickers away, you know, they might have listened to us. So it's totally, I mean, it's totally worth it. I love doing these. It's always been a good experience every con we've done. And it's cool that the Tupelo con is growing like it is.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, it's so obvious today and last year how starved Tupelo is for a con.
Yeah.
By the reaction and how happy and, like, relieved people are in general that they got a place now that they can all go and cosplay and do what they do. And
I mean, just looking at the line outside when I went outside for a second to the car, and it was wrapped around the building almost twice. I was blown away. I didn't really think the con was going to be that big, especially considering it was only in its second run.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to see the numbers after this is all over with, because even after the lines cleared, I went and got up, walked around, and walked out front, and there were still people steadily coming in buying tickets.
That's
like
insane.
Up to like 5 o'clock, and we're sitting at like 7 now.
Yeah.
So 2 hours ago, there's still plenty of people buying tickets to get in with 2 hours left.
I'm curious to see how tomorrow goes because usually Sunday is a slow day of a con.
Yeah.
So I really am looking forward to see what the turnout is on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right on. We're doing a panel tomorrow. If you get a chance to come out at 2 o'clock,
that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, you may be the only one in there, but that's fine. We'll do a panel.
I'm gonna be there. 2 o'clock.
Right on. Well, man, I appreciate you coming by and talking to us for a minute on the podcast. We'll definitely tag you and post it.
Fantastic! No, it's really
with you
my
on
pleasure.
Facebook now,
yeah, yeah.
I'll tag you when we upload this. It should be pretty soon.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for letting me be on this podcast.
All right, man. Thanks again,
guys. Stay tuned for more pop culture hating nonsense. No, I'm kidding. But really, down with the pop culture. Kardashians know nothing.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. That it's kind of funny that there's at least two or three people every con that walk up to us and go, "Why do you hate pop culture?" I'm like, "We don't. Not now. It's because pop culture is something different than what
it
used
really
to be.
Is. It really is. Because honestly, when I first saw your guys' signs, my first worry was that you guys were here to, like, make fun of us. Because, like, oh, yeah, mother loving.
I would be
stupid.
In the wrong place to make fun of
us. I thought you guys were just, like, brave, cocky sons of guns.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bring it on.
These guys are serious.
But no.
They must be armed because they're going to get attacked.
I can really dig what you guys are saying. For the most part, until relatively recently, Comic-Con and cons and cosplay has been super underground. Just recently, it's sort of like a small little bud that's sort of growing. So it's more known now, especially considering Comic-Con and Marvel is spreading their tainted seed everywhere. Daggummit. Not that sound. I love X-Men. Though X-Men isn't owned by Marvel anymore. But well, you know, I do. I was not ever one of those people who chose between the two. Loved them both equally. But I just hate the bias that DC gets. no matter what happened. Like for instance, I'm sorry to do this, but Wonder Woman, the first strong, powerful female lead superhero movie, and the issue people are, the only thing I've seen people hating on is her armpits are shaved, so she's anti-feminist. Like, I don't understand that, man.
They're shaved or they're not shaved?
They're shaved, so she hates feminism. Huh. That was what the article I read was.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at her armpits.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like it's like you finally the world gets what they want, and DC just... I didn't see anybody complain about Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy's armpits being shaved, but I guess because she's an alien. I don't know, yeah. But I really wish things... Supposedly, what I heard is that... Disney owns they own critics or the people who review movies. I don't know how true that is, but regardless, either way, DC does get a lot of crap that they don't deserve.
Hashtag Wonder Woman armpit hair.
Yeah, exactly. I hope all your fans don't come on here and start slamming on me for this. I'm just repeating what.
Yeah,
I
we're just gonna blame you if they get mad at us.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I take full responsibility. Sean at Yahoo at idontcare.com.
All right, man. You have a good evening. I think we're gonna get out of here and try to find a cold beer.
Oh, man, I hear you. Take it easy, man. Thank you very much.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
You like that jam right there? You like that song? It's called Wyatt Earp Doesn't Mess Around from Technoax. Our pals over at the Technoax YouTube channel. I guess that wraps up part one, day one of Tupelo Comic Con 2017. Be sure to tune in next week. Well, I may have part two up before next week. I got a busy weekend coming up, but I'm trying to get everything edited because I'm really excited about part two as well. And we mentioned this in the interview some, but I wanted to mention again that we actually did a panel with a podcast called Gotham Central. You need to check out their podcast. It's really good. We did a panel on podcasting. We recorded the panel. I haven't gone through the audio yet to see how it turned out, if I can make a podcast out of it. I think that'd be cool. Or if I can do a video. We need to put something on our YouTube channel anyway. Or we need to make a YouTube channel and put something on it. So, anyway, thanks for listening. We're going to ride off into the moonlight. Be back here. Be watching for part two, episode two, coming up very soon.